Leaving his fellow Munes to rest, Damask climbed the fort's eastern rampart for Starrise. He was as weary as any of them, but too dissatisfied with the outcome of the gathering to find much comfort in sleep. On the chance that an untapped reservoir of plasma might be of interest to the disgruntled leadership of the Trade Federation, and ignoring for the moment the effect it could have on Malastare's energy exports, he had ordered Hill and the others to learn everything they could about the planet Naboo and its isolationist monarch. Once the gossams of subtext mining had been dealt with, Damask and the Munes had devoted the rest of the evening to meeting with members of what they termed their steering committee, which was made up of select politicians, lobbyists, and industrialists, financiers representing Sestina, Argao, and the Bank of the Corps, elite members of the Order of the Canted Circle and the Trade Federation Directorate, and gifted ship designers like Naro Sinar, whom Plagueis planned to support in his bid to become Chief Operating Officer of Santhi Sinar Technologies. The committee met periodically, though seldom on sojourn, to assure the swift passage of corporate-friendly legislation, fix the price of such commodities as Tibana gas, transparasteel, and starship fuel, and keep senators in place on Coruscant as career diplomats as a means of distancing them from what was really taking place outside the core. Not everyone agreed that the Mune's strategy of tactical astriction was the best method for keeping the Republic off balance and thus ripe for manipulation. But Damask had insisted that their common goal of oligarchy, government by a select few, would eventually be realized, even if attained as a result of actions and events few would observe, and about which some of the membership might never learn. Starlight glinted from the hulls of the last of the departing ships. Damask took comfort in knowing that his guests believed they had taken part in something secretive and grand, and had been encouraged to execute campaigns that on the surface may have seemed informed by self-interest, but were in fact bits of Sith business. Movements in the symphony that was the grand plan. Keening klaxons fractured the morning silence. Damask's eyes narrowed and swept the surrounding forests for signs of disturbance. He had moved to the southernmost parapet when two sun guards hurried up the stairs in search of him. "Magister, the eastern perimeter has been breached," one of them reported. Outside the fort's walls, illumination was coming up, and drone ships were beginning to meander through the treetops. Occasionally, one of the imported beasts would lumber into the safe zone, touching off the alarms, but none of the remote cams were showing evidence of intrusion. "It's possible that one of our guests may have overstayed his or her welcome," the second sun guard said. He stopped to listen to a message being relayed to his helmet earphones. "We think we have something." He looked at Damask. "Would you be all right, Magister, or should we wait with you?" "Go," Damask told them, "but keep me informed." Stretching out with his feelings, he began to scan the forest again. Someone was out there, but not in the area the guards were searching. He attended through the force to the sound of movement in the trees. Had the Gran infiltrated an assassin? If so, had they found one clever enough to divert the sun gods into chasing an illusion? Damask and the other Munes should have been the targets, but instead of moving toward the fort, the intruder was actually moving away from it.